The men who wanted to stay, they're still here. And let me tell you this, Green Bay is a great town for football.
Is the tundra still frozen in April?
If you could get me to go to a draft, Lambeau would be near the top. That's near the high of the top of my list.
He said it lived up to it.
Just Lambeau.
Dude, the frozen tundra.
God, that'd be great.
This is a draft week edition of Dirt and Spray.
Brought to you by A&E Plumbing, Heating, and Air. Get $2,000 off a new energy efficient system now through May 31st. Call or visit aeheatingandcooling.com.
Dirt and Spray on 1080.
Every man must be committed to excellence. Every man must be committed to victory.
The Fan.
All right. 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland's sports leader, 1080, The Fan. Yes, indeedy. Hello. Happy Thursday.
What is happening?
It's a beautiful little Thursday morning.
That it is, Bob. That it is. You ready to play some golf today?
I'm ready to play golf.
Oh, buddy.
Yes, I am.
Oh, buddy.
Where are you guys playing?
I don't want to say it.
Yeah, they don't spend money on the station, so we're not going to say. Yep. But very excited to get out there. 75 degrees on a Thursday, a little golf leading into the NFL draft. Woohoo!
Not my favorite track, but we're playing golf.
We're playing golf,
yeah,
and it's and
no
the weather's
complaints.
Nice.
Weather's going to be great.
When the weather's 75 in April, it's not when even if you're not playing a course that you don't particularly love, it should be an okay. I mean, I'd hope you're in okay shape. It's been nice weather the last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Get out there. Get some sunshine. Yeah, feeling good.
We'll see how the course is.
Vibes are flowing.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see.
Probably not great, but still excited to be out there nonetheless.
Should be dry.
Well, I'm excited about the company.
Yeah, exactly. We're playing with good people.
And I'm swinging my golf clubs. That's all I care about.
That's all you need to do. We're playing with our buddy from Pelican. The other day on the air said that he sounds like Patrick Reed, and he was very offended by this.
Uh-oh.
But I didn't say he... See, here's the thing. I think he misconstrued it as I'm saying he looks like Patrick Reed.
I think he understood what he said. I don't think he misconstrued.
We're going to have some fun on the course today, because he called me the other day, and he left me a voicemail. I was putting Teddy down for a nap or something, and he called, and we're gonna listen to the voicemail, and then I'm gonna pull up a Patrick Reed interview from like after the Masters or whatever the last one he did, and I'm gonna have to show him like this kind of sounds like you kind of sound alike right now. I have point A, point B evidence. Let's compare and contrast.
So he didn't seem very happy with that.
No, he was not thrilled with my comparison,
which probably made my voicemail that I sent yesterday not received well.
What voicemail?
I called him. Well, it was 2 days ago. I called him.
Oh, okay.
Because he was calling me about booking the tee time.
Yeah, we're playing phone tag, trying to coordinate when we're going to golf.
And so I called him back, and he didn't answer. And so I don't leave voicemails.
Not a voicemail guy.
Not really my thing. I'll just text you or
if you need something or if there's some sort of urgency, like, hey, give me a call when you get a chance.
But his voicemail went off. I was in the middle of putting stuff away in my kitchen, and I heard his voicemail, and I'm like, you know what?
I'm already here. I might as well stay.
So I did the jokey thing of like, hey, Patrick, it's Spray. Oh, sorry.
No,
and then I said his name.
Uh-oh, are we ruining a relationship here? Oh, no.
I don't think he enjoyed it because I ended up getting to the, I made like an awkward voicemail.
Yeah.
Where I joked about that, and then I had nothing really to say. And then I was calling you back.
Keep talking.
And I was like, I could have texted you this. You know what? You're right. I could have texted this. Just disregard this voicemail.
Now he's going to get a minute-long voicemail. What the hell did Sprague want? What's going on here?
It might have been a 90-second voicemail.
Just keep going, man. Once you're in it, you might as well just explore the space a little
bit.
Don't
you miss the days coming home and hitting the voicemail or dialing whatever it was on your phone to find out what your voicemails were?
Oh, absolutely. I'll never forget the times in high school, because when I was in high school, they used to have it started to have the system where if you missed a class, they would call home. And if you didn't, they would like leave a voicemail of like, so-and-so was absent for fifth period today. And I'll never forget that tense moment of knowing there was a ballpark of time in which that phone call was going to come in. And you had to be around the home phone and just randomly do the, I got this one, pick up the home phone. And they'd look at me like, why the hell are you answering that?
Who was that? Wrong number?
Ah, I don't know. That buddy for baseball. He said, I need my green socks for baseball tomorrow. That's what I need. And then hang up the phone. Just making sure. Because if you knew if that got to voicemail, then you're screwed. Then the voicemail's on. You got that number blinking. You got the red light blinking. And somebody's going to hear that I don't want to hear that.
I always thought it was really cool when I was, I want to say I was going into like eighth grade, because I think it was a summer and middle school was getting over. And I That was the first time I had like a three-way call.
Ah, three-way calls.
There was three people on the
life
phone line
changers.
At one time.
Oh, yeah,
and
party line.
One person had to do it. Line. It was always like, are you going to call or are you going to call?
You got this?
You got this? And then they would hit like some, I can't remember the button, but they hit a button and then yeah. they'd be off and then they dial and they come back and there's somebody else on the line.
I'm talking to multiple friends at the same time.
Oh, my God.
It's a modern miracle, man. Look how far technology has come.
It was great.
We're hanging out with all my buds right now on the phone.
I don't know how I would have received our technology we have now with phone-related things. As an eighth grader.
Probably not good.
Like, if you went back in time
yeah.
and said, like, this is what it's going to be, I don't know how... I probably, eighth grade me probably would have been like, wait a minute.
Wait.
I can watch porn wherever I want.
Whenever I want? This is not going to end well.
No, but I would have been like, what? What's social media?
Yeah, there's a comedian.
And I would have thought that was cool, but I wouldn't have understood the nuances of how terrible it is.
How bad would your Instagram algorithm have been in eighth grade?
It's not the algorithm, it's the posting.
Sure, the posting, yeah.
How many dumb things would you have posted?
Oh, a million things.
Back in middle school, had we had cell phones the way they have cell phones.
It wouldn't have ended well. There'd be a bad trail there.
I'd get canceled by ninth grade. Yes,
by the time somebody discovered who I was, they'd scroll back a little bit and you'd be absolutely screwed. There'd be no hope at survival.
Absolutely.
There's a comedian who has a great stand-up bit. I think he's a little bit older than us, maybe early 40s, but the point remains of like our generation... kind of had a nice sweet spot.
Oh, we had a great sweet spot with technology.
If you're older, I think it took a longer time to embrace all the things that came after. And you're,
oh, I saw the whole development of the pure personal computer. I mean,
sure.
I had a Commodore 64 in the house way back in the day. So
you couldn't have made up an older sounding.
No, you could not have. Yeah,
piece of
have.
Technology. Then yeah. What did you call it?
The Commodore 64.
The Commodore 64. Yeah. You don't remember the Commodore 64? You didn't play the Commodore 64?
I didn't use it.
But it's the balance
Papa
of
Swag
like.
Was so proud when he brought that one.
He's pretty psyched about that. It's the balance of like it wasn't overwhelming in our lives, technology and social media and phones, but it came about at an early enough time where we were still capable of learning it and understanding it. Because I do think there's a pushback. The older you are of like, what is this crap? What is this social media? Yeah. What like you kind of like once you hit a certain age, you don't want to try anything new in life. And it kind of unfolded perfectly for us where the first phones were, you know, old little flip phones and you couldn't really do anything on them, but you could call home and then the technology slowly morphed.
Well, I think the just like the way that we use the internet, we obviously looked up weird things. You obviously went to naughty websites once in a while.
Yeah.
But you, like in my house, we had a computer, but it was a shared computer.
Yes.
So there was an individual computer. So like, if you went to the naughty site, man, you got to be very careful.
You got to be careful.
There wasn't incognito mode. Then.
You don't know who the next person is that's logging into that computer.
Well, and you're also like where the computer was in the house, like just being truthful. You joke about watching porn, but you maybe did it twice. Yeah. You're like, eh, it's too risky right here.
Looking over your shoulder the entire time.
Mom's bedroom's down the room, yeah. Like down the hall. Like, I don't know about that.
Somebody get a tiptoe down that hallway. What are you doing?
Well, and also the dead giveaway of like, oh, Sprague, sounds like you're kind of old. Why didn't you just sneak and watch it at night? Because when I got on, it went, welcome. You've got mail.
Yeah, damn it. The login process took a long time, and it made a lot of noise.
Damn, was that stuff loud. But
why did it make so much noise? What's the technology behind that?
Connected, dude.
Just connect. Why did it have to make noise when it connected?
Know. That's a great question.
It just had really to make a lot of noise.
Any smart person out there know the answer of why it
couldn't
had to
just
make
do
such
it quietly,
a loud noise?
Couldn't just easily, seamlessly connect and
why
had to make a loud noise.
Why can't we do silent mode on our cell phone? Right. Where was silent mode on my big computer?
Desperately needed that. It would have been 3 o'clock in the morning a lot on that computer.
Well, but like think about this. You had the ability to steal all the music.
You absolutely did.
LimeWire.
Oh, God, yeah.
Napster.
Just downloading things constantly.
You had access to every website because it was so new that like nobody really followed what was being looked at.
Nobody had any clue.
You had like your own mailing system individually, and that was always cool if you got an email from somebody. I didn't get a lot of emails, but like it was cool when you got one.
Or AOL Instant Messenger to
and then
interact with friends.
AIM. Yeah. AIM was like one of the original social media things, but better because you could filter and you just add who you want to add. You couldn't have random people.
No.
Like I'll get DMs on Instagram all the time from random people. And sometimes they're, you know, listeners who will comment on something from the show or
sure.
something, but then there'll also be other people who don't like me
and they'll just message me stuff.
Send you something.
And it'd be like, okay.
Hey, Sprague.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Hey, thanks. All right.
That didn't happen on AIM.
Nope.
So, like,
it was just you and your boys, you and your buddies, or some girl you were trying to spit game to.
And you thought it was cool to go to these different websites that you would hear about, but, like, also it wasn't addictive.
No.
It'd be like, eh, let's go play basketball.
Well, because it was the effort and the time that it took to do things, where it just wasn't so easy to do. And
yeah.
So you weren't always enthralled with having to be on it. And the majority of our time was outside.
I think,
a good balance in our generation.
Yeah, I think our generation got kind of screwed in many ways. Shout out the boomers.
Yes, we did.
And all the other old people who just continue to screw us. But that is the one thing I would definitely say. We hit a sweet spot.
Yes.
We hit the sweet spot of technology.
It wasn't overwhelming where you became addicted to it when you were in seventh grade, or you were desperate for, you know, having Twitter or Facebook or Instagram.
Right.
But there was a balance where there was enough of it that it started to encroach on our generation.
Exactly. Yeah.
It was a perfect little sweet spot for us. And, you know, we deserve it. It's been a rough run, man.
Rough run?
Rough run for the youngs.
It's going to be our third recession.
Rough run for the youngs out here, man. I always dream of what it would have been like to work in radio prior to 2008.
Pretty good.
Net worth would be a little bit higher
right now. Saw a newspaper article from Colin we used to hang up on our old walls, and it was like,
Colin Cowherd combined with his radio show and his news program makes $300,000 a year. In the 90s, which is basically $1 million now.
Yeah. It's a lot of money back in the day.
And I'm like, man.
Living good. Life is good.
Feel like he wasn't on news every day. So no. It's like kind of part-time doing news stuff.
Part-time sports anchor, morning radio host, 300 G's a year. Not bad right there. Not bad.
The Oregon Ducks were like Nike.
You didn't get that in your last contract? You didn't get that deal? You didn't sign that $300K deal?
No, I don't think they give those out anymore.
Unfortunately not, Edward.
Thanks, Swag. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
You and everybody else older than you. You guys
a
did a great job.
Way to ruin our country.
Passing down the the American dream. It's been great.
To be able to buy a house for $30,000.
I once got put on a theme park ride that I was told was one thing, and then I got on, and it started to become a different thing, and I'm like, I can't do rides like this.
No.
And it did not end well, and that's kind of what it's been like as an adult.
In life, that's what it is. I'm one off, man.
When I'm an adult, man, do whatever I want. Talk to whoever I want, spend my money.
And then you realize it's just struggling to figure out what to cook for dinner every night.
Yep.
And saying to yourself every week, if I just get through this week, things will slow down a little bit. If I just get through Friday, things will be a little bit easier.
Have you checked on our 401k? Did you call the insurance company?
No.
You guys enjoy your round of golf today.
Oh, no. I can't wait, dude. I can't wait. I cannot wait. The one moment in life where you're just peaceful zen until I duck hook the first tee shot, then I'm going to slam my club in the ground. Son of a...
I did play at that course once, and there was a bunch of rednecks next to the course, and they were shooting such heavy ammunition.
Oh.
That one of them literally shook the course as I was putting.
Oh, that's nice.
I thought there was a civil war beginning. Wow.
How am I supposed to putt with this going on, Doug?
I literally, my whole group was like, dude, back that, because like the ground literally shook.
You got to re-putt? They let you re-putt on that one?
And I'm just like, what do you need to shoot something like that for?
This is real life Caddyshack. Somebody's blowing up the gopher in the hole right now. We got TNT going off next to the course. I'm re-putting that, dude. I'm not on the PGA Tour. Give me another look at that one.
How many fake militia would go back to the 1700s thinking they were badass and then instantly come back?
Get one of those big bullet holes going through their chest. Like, that's not fun.
Actually, I don't want to live there. It's awful.
You catch gangrene and you die. It sounds like a great life.
How'd you die? I had a cough. Oh, that's terrible.
Oh, that's a bummer. That's not a good way to go.
Well, we got a good show today.
We do.
I'm excited. We're going to talk to a New York guest at 7:30 for the ticker today.
8:15.
That's what I said.
For the Daily Ticker.
Yeah, I was Patricia Traina.
Making sure we're paying attention.
Patricia Traina.
Yes.
All right. I'm excited to talk to her.
They got the third overall pick in the draft. Yes. Yes, you are correct.
Okay.
Pretty sure. I tagged her into Twitter last night.
Well, male and female names now are...
We talked about this the other day after the show. There's some that can go both ways, if you will.
Yeah.
That can apply either way, spelling dependent.
Right.
But you hear it, and you're not 100% certain the first time you hear it.
I heard one the other day for a girl that I'd never heard before.
Oh.
Yeah.
What'd you hear?
I'm not going to say.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Okay.
For the safety of my direct messages on Instagram, I'm not going to say it. Yeah.
If we had a girl, we thought about going Charlie was contemplated. Charlie's a name that could go either way.
Charlie is a name, but Chucky is like a great nickname.
Chucky is a great nickname.
Chuck.
Yeah.
Chucky.
At that point, you kind of have to be a redhead if you're going to go by Chucky, I feel like.
Think you're going
to
have a redheaded girl?
I mean, Teddy's got a little bit of...
Does he? He's got, well, I guess her hair's blonde.
He's a little blonde.
You got kind of a...
My beard is a little reddish.
Yeah,
you know? I got a little bit of a ginger beard, if you will.
Yeah, same.
We thought about Rudy, too, for a girl's name.
Hmm. Oh, interesting.
Yeah. How would you spell it?
Well, that's actually not important. What's important is, why do you get the second name, too? You got the first name, and you're getting
the second
name?
She's the one that picked Rudy. She's the one that liked Rudy.
Yeah, because you make her watch the movie every week.
Well, you know, every other week. It's every other week.
So we'll talk with Patricia coming up at 8:15.
Rudy.
See what the Giants are thinking today. I just think they're the most interesting team.
Yeah.
Number three.
It's a pretty big decision. Do you see what their GM's kid did yesterday on social media?
We will talk about
buddy.
Yeah, well,
talk about social media getting you in trouble.
We'll get to that. We got the Magic Hat today coming up at 6:30. So let's get it going. Dirt and Sprague, it is nice to be with you on this Thursday. We start next on The Fan. And we had Dan Lanning on the Fan airwaves yesterday. We'll get to some of the takeaways that we heard that we wanted to talk about.
Getting ready for the spring game.
The Magic Hat's coming up here at the bottom of the hour.
Can't wait.
Two things. One, I did that hockey yesterday.
You did that hockey. Good for you.
And two, I don't know if I would have been able to come into work if I suffered an injury that Jimmy Butler did.
Yeah,
and I'm physically telling you, I don't know if I could have gotten out of bed today.
I would not be here today if I felt like that.
I'm surprised he was able to get up and walk to the locker room.
That was not fun to watch.
I mean, just straight up landing on your ass from 3 feet up on hardwood.
Just that tailbone, boom, right onto that. No, thank you.
Like, his hand kind of hits first and his foot hits a little, but his, like that, we all know that his ass cheek is just hitting.
Yeah.
Directly on that floor.
That's one of those times where I'm sure they already are, but then you're very thankful that this is not a situation where you're playing every other night. You got a couple of days at least to try and get that thing dialed back in for the next game.
Well, you at least have to ask yourself, is this changing the entire series now? Because their defense sucked after he left.
It absolutely did. It absolutely did. I don't know if it's going to change the entire series.
Do you think that was a dirty play, or do you feel like he was pushed? Because I saw it. And in the moment, I'm like, oh, he kind of got pushed, but I'm re-watching this now.
It didn't look like he was pushed into Butler.
He kind of looks like he's making a dirty play.
Those are so hard to break
down. He's not known as a young, dirty player, but.
No. They're so hard to react to because you always, like, when you watch it live, it's one thing. When you're full speed, you have a certain feeling about it. And your main reaction is, oh my God, is Jimmy Butler alive? And then you're like, okay, he's moving at least. And then you see it a million times slow down, and you get to try and interpretate what the actions might have been for the player. And it's a really hard thing to do because you – did I use the wrong word? What did I say?
Interpretate?
I don't know what you use.
Interpretate.
Interpretate. It's a new word. We're making up words this morning. Let me cook. Don't get in my way of cooking. I'm cooking. It's 6:22 in the morning. Get out of my way, okay? I'm interpretating what's going on over here. But you just like
swag exactly. Yeah,
I always know I say something stupid the second you guys look at each other like, what the hell are you talking about? But like you try and like Zapruder film it of like, what were his intentions in that moment when he's like, he's crashing to the hoop. He's trying to get a rebound. He definitely wasn't pushed. Like the initial thought was maybe Draymond kind of pushed him.
That's what happened.
But
yeah.
It clearly when you watch the replay was not the case. I'm not going to say that he was diving into it or doing anything.
But why did
purpose.
He? Okay. I'm not trying to.
Did you lose your balance? Did you make a misstep? I don't know.
I wasn't on the internet when this game was happening. I was just watching this and I was reacting and I'm seeing this. And I'm like, oh, and I saw the replay and the replay, like they did it a couple times. I thought maybe Draymond had pushed him. And now I'm here this morning on social media and I'm watching videos and I'm just like, he's not tripping. He literally just kind of leans in and dives forward.
Yeah, to me it looked as if maybe he loses his balance trying to get through multiple players. He's trying to squeeze through, Adams and Draymond as he's trying to crash the glass and just kind of loses his balance.
That can certainly happen. He's also a high-level athlete that can Euro step and finish with a dunk. So yeah. It's like, does that really happen to that kind of guy? It's weird because he's not a dirty player, but...
No.
I just wonder what this is going to do now for Golden State. Interpreting how he's going to respond with that injury is an impossible situation because he left, he didn't come back.
Yeah.
Seems like they're unsure in Golden State what this means for him. But if they don't have Jimmy Butler, they're not doing anything.
No, it changes everything for him. He was so good for them in game one, and it was a reminder of like, hey, that's right, playoff Jimmy this time of year, a guy that you don't want to go against in the postseason. If you're Golden State and you get him back, you still feel fine.
Like, I think you feel great. Yeah.
You're playing a team that has very little playoff experience. Mm-hmm. You've already won a game on the road.
Their offense did exactly is so what you needed to do.
Yeah, I mean, they were terrible in game one. They couldn't score, and even last night, at times, it wasn't very pretty for them. So I think you feel fine if he returns to the series, but these are the reasons that you never know how things are going to play out, because it's one play, one bounce, one fall, and all of a sudden, if Butler's got to miss three or four games or misses the next chunk of them, you all of a sudden like Houston, where after game one, I think we all said, it's not a good look for the Rockets. Their offense is terrible. Who's going to be their go-to scorer? They're not feeling very confident. It's just funny how quickly things can change.
I want to ask you guys this question because I don't have, I don't think the Magic Hat's going to provide this today. You know, you never know what the Magic Hat's going to give us, but I don't think there's any of magic in it.
Never know.
So I saw that Connor McNutt's is out. You know, he's down 2-0 now.
Kings. He's not out. It's not over. They're down 2-0. It's the harmonica ladies. You see the national anthem they're doing in L.A.?
I didn't see that.
They got a bunch of grandmas
on
that
the harmonica.
There's like eight of them, and they invited them to game one. They all play the national anthem on their harmonicas, and they won game one, and then they invited them all back to do it again for game two.
I just don't. I don't want him to be hockey's Mike Trout, is my fear.
Get him out of Edmonton. I mean, he was in the final last year. He got to a game seven.
Yeah, he got to the final.
They are not good defensively, and their goaltending situation has been questionable at best for a number of years now.
Right, but you guys said that if they lose, they might blow it up, and so like if they blow it up, maybe they don't rebuild it right, and
that's very true. It could happen.
It takes me to where I'm at. Mike Trout, overrated.
Yeah, which he's not, but when you're not relevant at the end of the season, there's a little bit of that. He's had deep playoff. I mean, he's been to the last two years ago, I think they were in the conference finals, if I'm not mistaken. And then last year they were in the Stanley Cup finals.
He's had more success than Trout.
So he's gone on playoff runs. Yeah.
I don't want his team to fall off the face of the earth because he's a very valuable player.
That would absolutely suck.
Have you guys ever seen, because I certainly can't cite any history here. So I watched that Stars Avalanche match yesterday.
That thrilling match that went late into the night.
Because that Warrior Rocket game got out of hand at the end and Kerr waved the white flag. And
Also, we need to tell his Draymond comments about the Houston crowd. Like, are you kidding me, Steve Kerr?
Yeah.
Let's think about his family. Does Draymond think about the families of the officials that he berates every game?
How did he not get
Or the
get
players
tossed?
That he assaults seven times a year?
After that technical, how did he not get tossed? He was like visibly screaming and pointing at the ref as the shooter was shooting.
Did he think about Jordan Poole's family when he punched him in the face at practice? Well. Like, get off of your high horse.
Have you guys ever seen a series where a team is up 2-1 and they've led for 60 seconds?
Nothing comes
to
mind.
In three games?
Not many things come to mind.
It should be 3-0.
A choke job by the Avalanche.
It's pretty brutal, dude. They had the early lead. They held it all, terrible. You know, in the majority of the game. They give up the goal in the third.
That's
and then
bad
hockey. You lose in overtime.
You got to play better hockey.
You got to find a little more offense. You got to put a team away. When you got a lead, you got to step on the gas. You can't let teams hang around, and that's the lesson that they've learned the hard way now.
You can't take bad penalties late with their period, too, McKinnon.
Not a good thing to
do. They were not happy about that whistle, though. That was a little iffy, but.
Yeah, a lot of interpretating. Going on Colorado right now.
Oh, we're going to have that.
Look, we're just creating new words this morning.
Yeah.
Can I ask you this?
You jealous? You jealous of my new vocabulary? I think you are a little bit.
Did you even realize what you said?
Yeah. No, I was cooking. I was in the middle of a rant.
Because I've done that, I mean, too many times to count at this point.
Oh, yeah,
in my
you're
life.
Rolling and you're like, wait, what did I say?
Yeah. I mean, I knew immediately. Once you guys look at each other and make a weird face, I'm like, all right, did I fart? Is there something going on here?
Like, the worst is like when I do it.
What transpired?
See, you just keep cooking.
Yeah.
When I do it, it will stop everything I'm doing.
In your tracks immediately.
And I will feel like the entire world heard me say some stupid word.
This is the thing. You just keep flowing. Like, what percent? I bet 25% of our audience that just went right through. Just keep going. They didn't even notice
it. He's a little higher than that. I'm like, do you say
it's early in the morning. The people are just having their coffee. They're not awake yet. They can't make out every word.
Well, I know you're trying to say interpret, but I'm trying to figure out what the other word was you were.
He was going for that word, and he just said a slightly different version of that word. You know what I mean?
Maybe I made a new hybrid word.
Is he perfect? I mean, come on.
Yeah, what do you want from me here?
Jesus?
Yeah. Calm down, Riggins.
He has risen.
He has risen, indeed.
You talk about being early. Let's wake everybody up. It's time for the old Magic Hat. Let's get to that next. On the Fan. All right, let's get to the Magic Hat.
It's the Magic Hat.
Yeah, baby! That's what I've been waiting for!
Bring it on. Basically, a bunch of topics, and we have no idea where the sports gods want us to go.
Okay.
Until Swag pulls it out of his Magic Hat.
Hocus Pocus, where are you?
Now you see me. Now you don't.
It's magic.
It's simply what it is. It's magic. We don't know what's going to come out of this hat.
Where is that rabbit?
Abracadabra, MFers. Let's do the magic hat.
The only thing this hat's good for is the trash can.
The magic every Thursday at 6:30. And there's a lot of magic in this hat this week. We have a couple carryover magic tricks, I think.
Oh, I'm feeling very magical today.
Are you?
Yeah, it'd be cool to know how to do a magic trick. You guys got any magic tricks?
I got none.
I used to know a card trick.
You seem like a kid who would have been into magic. I don't mean that in a bad way. Like, he was watching game shows as a
kid.
And
you get
to try and interpretate. I'm trying to interpretate what you were like as a kid. You seem like a magic. Does he not seem like somebody? Like, check it out. I could make this card disappear. Like, damn, how'd you do that?
And so, Sarah, this is where my penis disappears. Abracadabra.
Now I'm going to make it grow.
All right, what's the first magic?
A bad influence?
Oh, a bad influence. This is a carryover from last week.
Yeah.
So, I know you guys may or may not, maybe you didn't see this. I don't expect Dirt to see these all the time. Time Magazine released their 100 most influential people, and there was like 7 athletes. One of the athletes not on the 7 most, or of the 7 athletes not in the 100 most influential.
And this is for the last year,
the
right?
The last calendar year. Caitlin Clark is not one of them.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts is.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are we doing?
And I just want to ask,
what are we doing?
What?
What?
Nah, I know.
The guy who's like the 9th best player on his own team and somebody who brought ratings and revenue to the sport that we have never seen before.
Never seen it
and
before.
Probably won't ever see again.
I mean,
this was a moment in time of fever that everybody got caught up in.
So she's a bad influence? Are we just what are we doing there?
That's a really weird one.
Time Magazine, way out thinking the room on this one.
Way out thinking the room.
Let me look it up real quick. I had it last week, but you never know what the magic hat's
I thought there were
us.
Also a couple of WNBA players on
there. There were.
Caitlin Clark wasn't one of them.
Nafisha Collier, who's a really good player.
Yes.
She was on the list.
Okay.
Now, I think she was one of also the founders of the 3-on-3 league?
Yes. Her and Breonna Stewart helped create the unrivaled league.
So, I understand then the premise. She's one of the best players in the WNBA, built a brand new league.
Impactful.
Okay.
Yeah, here it is. I get it. So it's Jalen Hurts, which is just like...
No.
I don't get it.
What is he influencing?
I don't understand it at all.
Here we go. Jalen Hurts. Serena Williams? She hasn't played in...
No.
When's the last tournament she played?
She was fun to watch at the Super Bowl halftime show, but
Breonna Stewart, Nafisha Collier. So you have 2 WNBA players on there who are good players.
That's for the unrivaled league.
Okay. What did Caitlin do to the WNBA?
Exactly.
She's selling out NBA arenas. Every game that they play in on the road, the team has to go to the NBA arena if there is one in that city because the ticket request is so big.
Simone Biles made it.
Sure.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
See that.
Yeah, no problem. Leon Marchand, a French swimmer.
Okay.
That's the list.
That's the list.
Those are the people on the list.
Okay.
No Caitlin Clark.
That's one of the worst lists I've ever heard.
I've unsubscribed.
Yeah, that's if I have a magazine subscription to Time, that's it. I'm done. I'm out. That list is deserving
ridiculous.
Of no longer purchasing your product.
She might have been the most influential athlete in sports last year.
I mean, you can make the argument over the last 10 years she's maybe the most influential athlete we've seen.
Oh, with
who has had that
changed.
Level of impact on their sport? In any other sport?
Messi.
Probably.
Soccer's already huge.
Yeah, no, but the MLS, I will say this about Messi.
Him coming to
you
the
might
MLS.
Not watch it. I might not. Him at the MLS, it did change things drastically.
Maybe it's changing things for their team and the games that they play, but the owners are desperate to get out of that TV deal. It's been a disaster for Apple TV.
Well, when he got there, though, initially, the signups were huge.
Sure. We're talking about taking a sport that, yes, people watched and cared about to making it one of the most watched sporting events of the year.
Yeah, they tried to go, mass global.
Beating NBA Finals games and World Series games. And
they need to take more of the approach of the NHL. The NHL is focused on their team selling out their arenas. They set an attendance record. It was like nearly 97% of capacity of arenas across the league tickets sold this year, over 23 million. They are focused on their individual teams, trying to make sure that there's the following, and they will slowly over time then grow the playoffs and the national game. But the success of the individual clubs in their markets is the most, and that's what the MLS needs to do.
Yeah. All right, what's the next magic trick?
Pink Pony Club.
Oh.
I'm very curious about this.
Oh, I cannot wait for this one.
What is the Pink Pony Club?
Let's just get it going. Okay. You know who really likes this song? Who is this? According to CBS News, our defense secretary, Pete Hegseth, reportedly, who's had nothing but chaos within the defense department, has ordered the building of a makeup studio so he can be TV ready at any time. Now, he is denying this publicly.
Of course he is.
You gotta be TV ready. But I would sincerely ask, why would the news make up of all the stories that story?
Exactly. That's a pretty funny one. Who sings that song?
That is a Chapel Roan.
Chapel Roan.
Chapel Roan.
Okay, I've not listened to much Chapel Roan.
It's basically a song about, you know, boys who grew up in the South that want to move to California and be in drag shows.
And be, oh, okay.
So, you know, there's nothing.
Pink, in the Pink Pony Club.
Well, I know this administration touts being an alpha male. There's nothing more alpha than any makeup.
Wish somebody put makeup on me every day.
I mean, defense secretary of the United States of America.
That'd be nice, you know. Where's my spray tan every day when I walk
about
out of the
this?
House?
Is Doge going to do anything about this? Is this a good use of resources?
My skin's all beat up. What are we doing here? Give me some makeup.
Never mind testing our dairy products for bird flu disease. Let's gut that. But we need a makeup studio for Pete Hegseth to do his Fox News interviews.
You got to have that mascara on, man.
Jesus.
All right, let's squeeze one more in here before we break. We agree with the scribe.
Does it say we or
it says,
does it say
we
do?
We agree with the scribe, question mark?
So I saw this. I've been reading, getting ready for the NBA draft lottery.
NBA draft lottery.
Coming around the corner.
May 12th.
And Aaron Frentress wrote about Anfernee Simons having a bad season, but how there was still growth. Not really sure. Anyways, he goes through, uses a lot of good quotes. And at the very end, he gives us his take. And it is, quote, if the Blazers want to win next season, they must either retain Simons or find an equal replacement. While Scoot improved, he did not solidify the idea that he's ready to run a playoff team at point guard. So a couple things to unpack here. One, I know where you're going to sit on should we retain Anfernee Simons.
And you get
Simons?
To try and interpretate. I'm trying to interpretate this.
Finding an equal replacement if it's not Anfernee Simons, I don't know how you do that. And then also the idea that they're a playoff team that Scoot is running.
That's your leap next year, man. You had a 15-win improvement this past year, right? Now we're ready for another 15-win improvement. Let's get north of 50 wins. This is the way things go when you already have superstars on your roster. You just take that next aggressive step, similar to the Houston Rockets, who became the 2 seed in the playoffs this past year.
So we agree with the scribe?
No, I don't think he showed a lot of promise or development. I just kind of think he is what he is, and that's not
well, he is.
Bad.
It's going to be year 7. He's not going to take some crazy leap in his career. He is who he is.
He's about to turn 26 years old. He is a good NBA player. He is a good scorer. He can be an efficient shooter. Like, he brings a lot to a winning team. He's not the guy that's going to drive the bus for a playoff team, and that is the biggest hang up of all this stuff going on. It's almost alarming, though, to me that you're saying I'm supposed to trust the organization and who they're going to draft and develop when the point guard who's going into his third year is still not ready to be a starting point guard in the NBA. Or Shaedon Sharpe, who will be going into year 4, is not. I mean, Shaedon Sharpe averaged 18 points per game last year. Can he not take a step? Wouldn't that be a more conceivable notion? Is that a word? Did that properly fit? Of him growing into year 4 and becoming a 22 point per game kind of guy and taking that next step offensively? He doesn't need to be on the roster because this is not a team that should have we need to make the playoffs or bust expectations.
Okay, so when we're all sitting here and we got more magic in that old hat, like, they go into the season and they start. They don't start well. Are we going to sit here be outraged because they've set playoff expectations? Or are we going to pretzel our way into...
No, actually, I just wanted to be closer to playing again.
I mean, you know the goalposts will get moved by this fan base. It always does.
It always does.
Always does. The goals and aspirations at the start of the year change drastically to where they are in the middle of the year.
I just want to make sure. I'd love us to be all on the same page for this stuff.
And look, and I'll say that he's going to be on the team next year.
It's going to be, what, the fourth or fifth season next year if they don't make the playoffs of not making the playoffs?
Yes.
I think It'll be the fifth next year.
And you're telling me there's already a superstar on the team, so I can't wait to see who that superstar is next year.
Well, those quotes may come back the way the 53 wins did.
How long do we have to wait for that emerging to take place? Is that going to get kicked to the next year? Wow, just give him more time. He's going into year four, going into year five. You got to give him another year.
Well, Shaden ended on a high, so he's naturally going to start the next season in the next 5 months on the same high.
Danny Avdia was awesome the last 2 months of the year, so he's clearly just going to come out of the gate averaging 30, 10, and 10 at the start of the year next year.
More magic in the old hat next on The Fan. It is draft week. It's draft day. Pretty jacked out of my mind. Watch the NFL draft tonight. We'll see who goes. 2, 3, 4, 5, etc.
Kevin Costner's on the phones as we speak, wheeling and dealing.
Got a wheel and deal. I'll never forget the time doing the show. We were 12 to 3. I don't know if I've outraged a listener more than when I basically said I didn't think that was a good movie. And I hadn't really seen it, but I just...
There was somehow a Kevin Somebody Costner stan who yes. heard that. I don't know if it's a niece or a relative of some sort. I don't know. But they let you have it.
They did. Let's get back into the old magic hat. Provides us all these great sports stories that happened the last couple days. Where are we at now?
A giant problem?
Mm. Oh, that shouldn't have been in there.
No?
It's...
Was this on the Giants? Were you going to make fun of the Giants last week?
We have a giant guest. We've already talked about the Giants.
NFL Giants. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was basically what I said last week. Like, what do you do? Your job is on the line. You have to get a quarterback. Now, maybe they trade back into the first, like their son's suggesting, and they do both.
I think they're going to take Jackson Dart third overall tonight.
I think they go Carter and then Dart, but we'll see.
All right. Over or under?
Over or under?
Over.
Three very, very popular, highly followed draft pundits released mock drafts yesterday.
Yes, give me the mocks.
And all three had the under of 2.5 quarterbacks in round one. However, one pundit who's not so much known for his mock draft ability, but is very plugged into the NFL, Peter Schrager, ESPN, released one based on what he's heard, gave some predictions, and he's got three. He thinks Shadur goes to Pittsburgh, Cam Ward goes to Tennessee, and he's got the Giants trading back into the first round with the Rams drafting Jackson Dart. Over. Or under 2.5 quarterbacks, because most of the draft pundits believe it's going to be under, but I've been on the over for a long time because of the value of the position.
Well, let's see how this affects or plays out tonight, but I have flip-flopped on my stance on this. I have agreed with you and been on the same OVA team for the majority of this pre-draft process, but now on the day of the draft, I think I'm flipping to the other side.
Going to the under.
I think I'm going to the under.
Okay.
All the smoke out there, the over-under on where Shador gets picked has just dropped like a stone.
Yep.
Jackson Dart is not a bad bet to maybe be a back end of the first round guy, but we've also seen years where there's been a lot of chatters about quarterbacks, and then you look up and they're still there at the end of the first round going into the second round. And I know Milroe's going to be there tonight, which is an interesting move. Just wants to hang out at Lambeau. It's not a guarantee that he's taken in the first round. He's another candidate maybe for a team to say, what the hell, 27th pick, let's take a flyer on this guy. But when you got three guys who are all question marks, I'm going to take the under tonight. I think the main reason we're all so focused on it is because of the position, the hype around these players, the conversation about quarterbacks. But at the end of the day, I don't know if the NFL teams feel that way, and I think we're only going to get two tonight.
All right, next one, Swigard.
What do we got here? The next one is, turn his TV off. Turn his TV off.
Now, do you know that that's a rap lyric?
No.
That is a Kendrick Lamar rap lyric.
Not familiar with that rhyme.
According to Heather Denich, college football playoff spots could come down to TV ratings. They are considering a criteria.
Yeah, I'm good.
They are considering a criteria, and one of them is how a team's TV rating was.
Oh, yeah, brother. Yeah. Why else would you decide who competes for championships?
Remind me, are there just two conferences in the whole sport controlled by media companies?
Pretty much.
These are so funny whenever they get floated out. One, because it's just a ridiculously dumb idea, and it's like, how could you possibly get dumber than what you've already cooked up? But like, let's find a way to get dumber than we were before. It's remarkable. They continue to set a new bar for themselves.
But when all your revenue comes from TV.
Yeah, look, it's also
Penn
hilarious.
State's got great ratings. Why is that?
It's also hilarious that who are the two conferences that get the most eyeballs and ratings?
Yeah. That yeah.
Who are the two conferences that want more spots? Like, just take your spots. Just take your spots.
Yeah. Just call the big
You're
SEC.
Gonna get your guaranteed spots. You got your guaranteed spots. We don't need some advanced metric to prove, like, You're going to get more teams in. You get more teams in every year. It's just, what
it's
are we doing?
Called the B1G playoff, for God's sakes. All right, go. Let's dive back into the hat. I got. I really want one. I want to see which one you draw here.
Will not so thrilled.
Oh, yes. How about this? Imagine being a Major League Baseball player.
Yeah.
And you get tips from a legend.
Yeah.
Like, hey, man, I'm struggling. What do you think? And this is what I would do. And then you get those tips and you go, nah, I'm not going to do that, actually. See ya. Thanks. I'm going to do whatever I want. Will Clark has been trying to give hitters in Major League Baseball tips of how to be better hitters.
Yes.
And basically, they have blown off his advice. And he gave this thought during an interview.
You know, you try to talk to people about that now, and they're like, ah, we don't need to do that. I'm swinging for the fences. I'm like, yeah, it's because you're a f***ing asshole. You don't want to hit 300. You don't want to help your teammates out. And you don't care about striking out. That's why you strike out 150 times and hit 230, 240. So all of you guys in the major leagues that hit 230, 240, 15 homers, 45 RBI, strike out 150 times, f*** you, motherfucker. You guys are not hitters. There you go. Boom.
Well done. Well done. Will Clark's one of a kind,
Will
man.
Thrill.
He is one of a kind. He is as red ass as you could possibly find. His interviews are always hilarious. And I agree with the assessment.
By the way,
guy was a pretty good hitter in his big league career. Pretty damn good.
He's basically doing that because he was told to give a hot take. And so he was giving his thoughts on hitting. And then he added the bombs in there.
I do miss hitters wanting. I don't know when the shift went where it was okay to strike out 100, 150. I mean, that
used to get booted from the big leagues if you struck out 170 times a year.
If you were doing that, if you weren't making productive outs, if you were just up there Rob Deering it, man, you were a joke.
Have you guys adjusted your mindsets watching your teams play? Like, I know I've done this as a Braves fan. I look at my lineup. And sometimes I watch the game with the stats on the screen. So the game screen's a little smaller, but my stats are up. And I'll always be checking, and I'll be looking like, okay, one hitter, 300. Oh, 250? Like, do you guys look at 250 now and like, get happy about it? Because I used to look at it and go, God, he sucks.
Yeah, 250, I don't know if I get happy about, but I'm not angry about it.
Now
it's like you're
acceptable. Now I'm looking to see what he's doing. Like, okay, so you have a lot of RBIs, so maybe you're getting sack flies and those sorts of things.
Right.
Are you productive? 250 is tolerable.
Yeah, I don't know when if the trend will ever kick back fully the way that it used to. But, I'm only watching my team, so I have no clue what the other teams are doing. That's how we all are as baseball fans for the most part. They're bunting this year. They're stealing bases. There's like, hey, let's get guys over. There is an aspect of enjoying watching it again where it's not lefty-righty matchup, swing for the fence, because that's what the analytics tell us is the absolute best thing to do.
There is the Magic Hat. We do it every Thursday at 6:30. We have a lot to get to in the second hour. I find the Giants the most interesting team in the NFL draft today. We'll see what they do at number 3. And so we'll have the ticker's going to be in the third hour, so I'm teasing the third hour here a little bit. We'll get to some more NBA playoffs. Should we be afraid of this man in the NBA playoffs? I will tell you who that is. But Dan Lanning talked about the spring game this weekend, gave some thoughts on Dante Moore. We start the second hour with Dan Lanning audio next on The Fan.